DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with
Ender's Logic.
We call you Muscle Hammer.
Flopsy.
That the system...
Your host, Robert Digital.
Reload. Game changer overused.
And
Smoochie. I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Recording now. All right, Jesus Christ. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Emilio.
Hello.
Chad.
Bobby's going to try to get this through this quick.
Gee.
Hi.
And Bobby. Just to explain something, we recorded like 10 minutes and I realized the recorder was not going. So we're back here doing it again, second time around. Going to be twice as good.
All our listeners get it twice.
Those 10 minutes were the best 10 minutes of podcasting of all time. Yeah. This is just a tribute.
Yeah, it's like a tribute song.
Yeah, so unless you listen to us live, you missed out completely.
It was literal magic. Yeah. Sparks were flying.
Jeez, we all had hard-ons. Yeah. It was amazing.
Even cheap.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm going to run through this super quick. Discord, if you're a Patreon member and you're on Discord, you now have a green name. It's just a little thing, a little thank you. You don't have any privileges or anything. You're just awesome looking. If you're a Patreon and on Discord, please hit me, and you haven't been upgraded, hit me up and I can do it manually. So that's going on. We had a t-shirt contest.
Thank you.
Thank Chad for doing all these different logos in the stylings of our favorite games. We did, and also just some obscure ones.
We don't have to like do it in one breath. You know, it's okay.
Take
a deep breath. Yes.
A little too
fast. They're like, I didn't know this was an Emilio show.
Holy shit. Yeah. So the winner was the 80s look. So we're going to work on that. It's not going to be the logo. We're going to do something different. But it's going to look cool.
Apparently, we're going to exclusively order that logo on a man thong, and we're going to give it away
directly on a thong.
Yeah.
No, I'm just improvising at this point.
But yeah, so we appreciate everybody that voted. There was actually more votes than I thought there was going to be, so thank you all for voting.
Now, who's getting t-shirts? Patreon subscribers?
Yeah, so just to reiterate, a $5 Patreon will get you one t-shirt. $10 will get you every t-shirt we ever make, and stickers, and because I think the next thing we're going to make some stickers.
I kind of want to do posters because I'm thinking, but we'll talk later.
There's shit on my point. It's cool, man.
No, stickers. Also,
speaking of Patreons, two more guys this week. Thank you so much. Keep the lights on around here. That's Parajo or Parajo.
Parajo. Parajo.
Yo me llamo Rogelio.
Yes.
And the Mayo. Mayo,
thank
also,
much.
Thank you for, well, I'll talk about you a little bit later. You're going to get a double shout out this week. And the new intro, thank you, Frubs, for...
Yeah, you probably just heard it right 5 minutes ago. So tell us what you think. But we appreciate it. Thank you very much, Frubs. And he's getting a shirt too, right?
He's getting two.
Oh, awesome.
I believe.
Awesome. Cool.
It's going to be dropped off at his house via drone, too. That's what I heard.
Yeah. A dog is going to carry a drone. The drone's going to fly at the dog's mouth. Then it's going to fly into his backyard. Then it's going to drop it off.
Yep. I like it.
Yep. You can't just leave that shit. It's gold. You can't leave it in the front yard.
You have somebody the sign, right?
Jesus.
You're not going to just leave it off. You got to get it signed.
It requires a blood token.
Yep. Gotcha. So for last week's errors and shit, I drove up to Fresno with my girl, and we listened to the podcast. I was driving. And like when something came up that I wanted to come research later, I asked her to write a note to me. So I got a whole list of shit from last week. So I'm going to run through this quick.
What?
There was a bunch.
Wait, your
really
girlfriend
care?
Is doing podcast homework?
Yeah. Yes.
She really
so here
likes
we go.
You.
We'll run through
That's
this
awesome.
Quick. First thing first, Torment, Tides of Numenera has nothing to do with some boss guy and you're his minion. That's Tyranny.
Oh.
This is a completely different game.
That's a big error.
Yeah, so
Sorry.
Don't do that. Nier Automata. It's not Automata or anything else. It's Automata.
Okay.
Automata.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nier was actually, the first game was actually for both PS3 and Xbox, so it wasn't developed for one or the other. It wasn't exclusive. That was my fault. There is actually no lawsuit, G2A versus Tiny Build. There's no lawsuit going on. I did my research. I couldn't find anything about it.
Wow.
There's been back and forth. They want it cleared up, but neither of them are willing.
What are we, like the Onion? Anything we say real?
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is something we messed up. Last week was a good week, but we messed up a lot of shit.
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
Come on. Your mama joke was good earlier.
So Emilio actually did some research about the Windows, the moving background wallpaper on Windows.
Well, it's coming up.
Okay, you'll talk about that later. Yeah. Next thing up, Pulsar Lost Colony was the...
Oh, yeah.
We were talking like Proton or something. So it's actually Pulsar Lost Colony. Stramium Immortally. It's not Immortality. It's Immortally. The problem is, if you look up Stramium Immortality... DL Gaming comes up second because we used it as a tag.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so funny.
That's the only thing you can find about Stramium Immortality. So just to get it right, it's Stramium Immortally. And that's it for that.
All right.
Thank you. Those were important.
Goodness.
You're right. Okay. But we should have done them at the end.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should try to get our facts straight beforehand.
Nah. Nobody wants to listen to
What's the fun in that?
Isn't it fun to just be yelling at your podcast machine or whatever when they say something stupid and you're like, no, idiot, it's not that.
I just like to cast our listeners in darkness for one whole week. They're like in a cloud of lies in the seat.
Yeah,
I'm stuck in guile.
We messed up a lot of stuff. So, anyways,
all right, let's talk about some upcoming games on the radar here. So, I'd say we start with the big one here, Mass Effect Andromeda. Okay. I mean, that one's coming out, what, March 17th?
March 21st.
21st.
On all platforms, I believe. So
I'm super excited.
When we're recording, but I'm super excited. Who's been doing extra research on the Andromeda?
You have.
I have, yes, just me. The one thing I have to say about Mass Effect Andromeda, there are some must-knows that you kind of have to... know before going into the game. First and foremost, of course, everybody knows it's not a continuation of the Shepard trilogy. You are a completely new person, and if you didn't know, you're actually a twin. Like, you're either the male or female twin, and other than self-customization, you get to customize your twin.
Oh, that's cool.
And your father. So those are some really interesting notes to take in. And some other things, too, is that they took out some things, and, of course, they threw in some stuff. What was important to me that I found out the differences is the timeline. I'm not sure if you know that this Andromeda, the Andromeda event, the ship that leaves for the Andromeda galaxy actually leaves right after Mass Effect 2. So before anything that happens in Mass Effect 3, these people do not know about it at all. So whatever happened in your Mass Effect 3 save file is irrelevant to the knowledge and what's happening to everybody. It's placed 600 years after them leaving. So it's a completely different generation of people who are aiming to colonize this new galaxy. So just some smaller tidbits. What else can you guys add? Of course, there's going to be new species. And one thing that kind of hits home for me, there's no more Paragon choices. So Paragon no longer exists in Andromeda.
Paragon
again?
Paragon versus like the Renegade
system.
Renegade versus Paragon. Okay, it's a morality bar. And
morality bars suck.
What's interesting, I believe they're the only one who did it right. Not the only one, but it was one of the few that did it right.
Did it right. I agree.
I mean, if you do shit, like in Skyrim, if you go around killing all villagers, you shouldn't be allowed into towns. It just, and that's how it works, you know? Like, if you're a fucking murdering asshole, like, you should build a negative reputation. But what I like about Paragon and Renegade is Renegade doesn't necessarily mean evil.
Yeah.
It's just it's different like route.
With the nine box, you know, like, on one side you've got, I forget, one side's chaos. You know what I'm saying? Like chaotic good versus I forget what the other one. It's not
chaotic evil.
No, it's like not
neutral,
good and evil.
Chaotic.
But chaotic is on one side and the other one.
And then there's
order?
One.
I forget. Whatever. So it's not good and evil.
Like the purity of your morality meter and like
they're still broken.
The original Mass Effect. I think it was good because you had separate meters that raised, like depending on how many Paragon choices or how many Renegade choices you made. But I like that everything is kind of a gray area because of all the decisions that you'll be making. Like, there's really no true good or true bad. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. Conversationally, they changed up a lot of things too. And I'm super excited as well.
I think we'll probably have some more info before it comes out. This is a day one purchase, pretty sure for me. I mean, I'll wait for some reviews, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't care if it gets a 20% review or something from, I'm still going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. We've been waiting too damn long, in my opinion.
Yeah, cool. The other one that's on the radar, this has been blowing up on Twitch and stuff, is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So for... I did a little bit research today because I'm like, this is the weirdest title ever. So apparently PlayerUnknown is a known creator. I think he assisted in the creation of either DayZ or what's the other one? What's King of the Kill?
H1Z1.
I forget which one. I think it was DayZ. So it's a DayZ player who also helped create content. And so... he didn't. I think what happened was he's not liking like what H1Z1 was doing and stuff. So, anyways, basically he's using his name for this game called Battlegrounds. So, Battlegrounds is a battle royale style game, exactly like King of the Kill, but essentially they're trying to do it right. And there's a lot of hype behind this game. A lot of people on Twitch are streaming this. In fact, it's so popular right now. They've got like pre-orders going on, and a pre-order gets you access into it. The pre-orders are sold out. You can't get it. You can't get this game right now.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So,
it looks very DayZ. I would say this guy was tied in with DayZ based on the graphics alone.
Some of the things that are a little improved on it is you can modify your guns now. You can actually put scopes in that actually scope in. Like, they did a lot of work to make sure the action sequences are actually enjoyable, and that was missing in some of the other games. The other thing that was cool that I thought was... you start off, so you can have, I think, up to 120 people on the map when it starts off, and you all start off on these big, like, what do you call those big planes, the people carriers that have, like, the soldiers jump out of. Anyways, these things are flying across, and you can basically jump out where you want, and you parachute down. You can see the whole island, and you parachute down into the island, so you can kind of set up where you want to come in.
Which is vital, because... people love to play with friends when it comes to these battleground games. And a lot of the times, half of the beginning of the beginning of the game, you're just either catching up, like trying to find each other, and people keep dying off before you even all group up. So it might be very helpful in that sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So a lot of the people that are playing H1Z1 are switching over to this game. A lot of people that have been playing DayZ are taking a look at this one. So it's got a lot of hype behind it. It's supposed to be coming out fairly soon. It's in closed beta right now. But like I said, you should be able to get a key if you pre-order, but the pre-orders might be sold out right now. One of the things that I kind of was curious about is apparently Battle Royale is kind of molded into a whole new genre now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of feel like.
It needs to be.
And it's kind of surprising to me. Like, you know, this is the first time I've kind of thought about it in that kind of style. Like, I wasn't really paying attention when MOBAs came around. So this is kind of the first genre that I've kind of been paid attention to that started from the beginning and has grown to its genre, right?
And it's happened during the podcast, if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
DayZ started right around we did, and then it's been moving right along. Yeah. And it's super exciting. Like, Chad and I got really into King of the Kill, although it wasn't called that at the time. It was called...
It was just H1Z1.
H1Z1.
Is it called King of the Kill? I thought it was King of the Hill.
No, it's King of the Kill.
Yeah. And that's the... Anyway, this needs to... There needs to be a Street Fighter 2 for this genre. Something needs to be the one, because the genre is fucking awesome. I mean, it's so exciting. Personally, I kind of like the... Like you said, Battle Royale. Like in Battle Royale, the Asian movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They like one guy got a frying pan, the other one got a knife. Like nobody got a gun. I kind of like that a little bit more.
Yeah, this is definitely around
some people
guns.
Got guns, but
and you can even get like in King of the Kill. I think there's only like one sniper rifle, and it doesn't work very well. This one, like you can definitely get sniper rifles, and you can shoot people from a ways away. So it is. There's definitely more range that you can put in, and the vehicles also can be driven. So it's an 8 kilometer by 8 kilometer island, and I think you can actually traverse it. But it's got the same thing like King of the Kill, where it kind of zeroes in, and you've got to get a smaller and smaller play area over time. So, you know, I'm not normally a first person shooter one, but I'm probably going to pick this up and play it whenever I get a chance to get into the
I will definitely
beta.
Have to play this one.
Yeah, Chi, I think you'd like it. And
I would love it.
Oh, you never played any of these, Chi?
Oh, I've dabbled in virtually all the Battle Royales.
Oh, okay.
Except for maybe Arma.
Okay.
And I know we have a lot of Arma.
We really, all four of us, when there's a slow week, we all need to play.
The first game that I ever streamed was DayZ. And I loved it. And then when H1Z1 came out, I played that as well. But by then, I still felt like there were so many glitches and bugs that it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the time they patched everything up, I had already moved.
And you know what? They never run 100%.
Yeah, that's
true. There's so much shit going on. In other news, Chad, can you play video games right now?
Yes.
What? Oh.
Like, to what extent?
We'll talk about it in highlights and lowlights, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, big story. The reason I brought it up is because Chad could not play Black Wake with me.
And that's true.
Can you play it now?
I could, except I returned it, so I will have to purchase it again.
You're going to need to.
Why would you return it?
Because I was very mad at it.
So,
but I'll talk about that.
So Chi and Bobby had a bigger night playing than we had. So go ahead, guys.
Yeah, Chi.
No, Bobby hasn't spoken.
I talked a lot about it last week. You know how you play a game and you have your initial impressions of it, and then you play it a couple more hours and the game starts to change, you get better at it, you have a deeper understanding. So last time when I talked about it, I had played maybe a couple of hours, and I feel like I've learned a lot since then. I think I'm maybe ready to be a captain, but
Passing
I don't
maybe
bilges.
Ready. I was ready to be a captain before Bobby was ready to be
a captain. Though, like, I don't think that would be enjoyable. I'm having so much more fun actually. Okay, so last week I talked about how there was this really guy was kind of a dick, the captain that I had, but he was really good at the game, and he would tell us the exact moment we needed to fire when he had the boat lined up, and we didn't have to aim or do anything. We just lit that and stood back, and nobody else has been like that. I've not had a captain like that since. So I've been trying to improve my aim with the cannons and just improve in other areas of the game. But I'm still having a lot of fun with it. Now, I was playing it with, a lot of people. I think Fastidious was there too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to another listener, Beirut, about it. And he was kind of thinking about getting it, but then was worrying that, you know, by the time everyone is over the game and moving on to something else, like he's going to be stuck with a game that he just never really played that much. And
Vinny Del Macho joined as well.
Oh, yeah. He was there. We had a ton of people. We had almost a full crew.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this game
How'd your boat
relies
do?
On...
Ship,
the,
sorry.
The ship? Mm-hmm. We did all right. You know,
Who was the captain, though? Was that Chi?
No, we played a couple of games. We probably played 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was captain 2 out of the 5, I would say.
How'd you do, Chi?
Well, the first time I was ever captain...
What's your view like?
Huh?
What's your view like as a captain?
As a captain? No, it's still... when you take on the wheel, it's a third-person view of the ship, and you get
to
guide...
So you become the ship,
yeah,
so to speak.
you steer the ship in whichever direction.
Like driving a car.
And then you could do captain commands that will help people focus which... starboard or starbound?
Port, starboard.
Starboard.
Yeah. Bow, stern.
Port
you
is
can
left.
Give direction.
4 letters.
Port, yeah.
Port
I was,
is left.
I was really bad at picking up on that. So I was like, the way I captained my ship was basically...
Chaos. I'm already picturing this. Chaos.
You weren't there. How do you know?
Minnie Del Macho says you were drunk as fuck. So I'm picturing chaos.
First and foremost, you nominate the captain when you join the server. You put yourself in and you put... underneath it, a reason why you should be captain.
What'd you put?
I put A equals sign D squiggly. And apparently everybody else was feeling it. So so I was nominated captain. It was a 1v1 server, so I didn't have to worry about other ships. It was just simply focusing on like navigating and figuring what the hell I was doing. It's a great learning map. What was great about this is that everybody was patient with me. My whole entire crew was patient with me.
Your whole crew was still
and
giving
helping
listeners.
Me and helping me. Basically, and they were patient. But the way I captain versus what Bobby has described as what the good captains do, where they're like, hold fire, prepare port side.
Who is that person? He's off the game.
It's like, you know, fire away.
That will show a little picture that will tell you where to load or fire the cannons.
Yeah.
But you really should be communicating to that over the mic. So the captain has to have a mic. And also, there's some things that you cannot do until the captain gives the permission to do it.
Yeah, like
the grapple.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that before.
For me, it was basically like, hey, guys, I see him. He's over there. I'm going to turn the ship. Be ready on this side. All right, fire, motherfuckers, fire. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yeah. Did you guys win? That's the question.
I'm going to ram five this matches. Motherfucker. Go.
We won once by like one ticket. It was a pretty close game.
Oh, and then also Fastidious, I was like, we need a bilge, bitch. Who's going to be a bilge, bitch? And Fastidious was like, me, Captain.
After you guys were done with that, we were playing games, me and Fast, and he's like, man, she turned me into the build bitch. Bilge bitch.
Again, this is Black
Okay,
Wake.
So we have a title for the podcast.
So, Chi,
what are your thoughts, though? Like, fantastic game?
I had a lot of
worth
fun.
The 20 bucks.
Worth the, for if you have friends, yes, worth the 20 bucks. If you can see yourself playing with other people, yes.
See, I don't agree with that, though. That's what I think Beirut was getting at, that you need to have friends to play this game and have a good time. I have a great time playing this just by myself, just jumping into a random server.
I agree. Yeah.
I still have a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, but so I would describe it as a game that could be very cancerous. And I actually had a tab of that, too, where I was just cussing somebody else out without being able to breathe in between my words. Yeah. Like, it's a cancer game for sure.
You rage a little bit, Chi. You need to keep that in. I mean,
well, that's why she plays video games.
It's a game that relies on you, on everybody to do their job and to do it right. So if someone's not picking up the pace picante, then it causes a problem for everybody.
Yeah, I was trying to be captain, and this dude was just jumping on my steering wheel, like, you know, teabagging me while I was trying to steer the ship, and I was getting really pissed off.
We have a comment from Fast. He says, Chi will get up in your ass, dude.
Yeah, so,
exactly.
So I played as well, and I played with Bobby, but we had a hard time getting on the same ship. Not a hard time. It just didn't happen.
Sometimes you have to play around on opposite sides, and then when the next round starts, you can get right
like
in.
A TF2 or something. Mm-hmm. You just jump into a server, and then.
And Bobby had a. So I was having an okay time, and I was like, you know, trying to learn the game and all this. And then I got this godlike captain, and he made me realize what morale can do in war.
Oh my goodness.
It was amazing. So we're fighting, right? And he goes, I come in after they had been doing okay already. And they're like, he's like, you guys are fantastic. He's like, nobody's even touching us. You guys are doing everything you need to do. And I'm looking at the deck. I'm like, I've never seen a deck like that. Nobody's running around. It all looks orderly. No, what is going on? And I go up deck, and then they're like, everybody's standing at stations, which means all the supplies are loaded, all the cannons are loaded, all the repairs are done, everything. And then he's like, and there's logic, can you please go that? And I was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, I can, sir. So I went down there. So we
straight to the bilge? Is that where you
No.
went?
So bilges don't, like, it sounds like the worst job ever, but you only need to bilge when you're fighting, basically.
Right, because you're
putting
holes on
in the
water.
Ships and the bilge gets the water
it's
out.
Super important. Yeah. Bobby was telling me.
You get mad points for bilging.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing about the bilge. So when you get shot, like when you. I kept using the term volley. Volley means that you fire all your shots at the same time, and you put a bunch of holes in their ship, and that's harder for them to repair than if you go fire, fire, fire. You're giving them time to repair and pump out the water. So you send your volley at the enemy, and you know they're going to return fire. So you step away, and then they punch a bunch of holes in your ship. And then the first thing that you got to do is get on the bilge and get the water out. Second priority is to patch up the holes.
Yeah.
And then if you have people left over, then you can reload. Now, not everyone knows that, but the bilge is the most important thing to do, and you get the most points. Case in point, a couple days ago, I was playing by myself, and I just went on the bilge, hit E, and just let the bilge pump, and I went in. I had, like, stuff to do around the house. I was just kind of, like, I don't know, eating something, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, doing whatever. Came back. I'm, like, third on the scoreboard at the end of the round just from bilging the whole game because you get so many points from working the bilge.
Bilging.
Yeah.
So let me finish my story on this guy. So there was a point where...
Did he sound like a white... I mean, not white. American? Did he sound like
Yeah, he was an American, like, kind of nerdy sounding voice.
Sorry about the racist comment. Jesus.
And, it would be a really good way to test different accents as a captain.
It's true. It's like, true.
You could change your voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the pirate voice. Go ahead. Give it a go.
And so at a certain point when we were pummeling this ship, because this guy's such a good captain, he's like, think about it, boys. They're over there underwater. They can't even hear each other while they shout. Because it's true. If yeah. your ship is under a certain amount, you're going, blah, 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 blah. You can't use your mic.
The comms even the actual voice comms.
Like, no, I should have. So then he's like, they're running around. They're swimming to go repair things. We hit him a couple more times and we got him. I was like, oh yeah, we do. Cause we had our own stress. And then we were on the receiving end of that one time. Like we're all fucked up. And he's like, this is where it counts, guys. I know you're stressing. I know that there's a lot of things going through your head, but you just need to prioritize. He's like, do one thing right. And I was like, okay, I'll do this one thing right, sir. And I did, and it was fucking amazing. Every time that we got broadsided, he would put the front of our ship to the broadside so that we could... It makes us skinny,
yeah,
and
gotcha.
Only the front. And he would tell people to go to the front, ready to repair.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
I think when shit was hitting the fan, I was like, where's my bilge, bitch? Bill, bitch, start pumping. Everybody else, do everything else. Don't worry about the bilge, because that bitch has it. So it was,
and
it was
I just
great.
Like,
it was
like
great.
To reiterate that this week's episode of the DL Gaming Podcast is coming to you by Black Wake.
question, though. I haven't played yet because I had my own problems. Specifically, I bought the game, I installed the game, I booted the game, and it would just go to the load screen and the icon would spin. It would never actually load. So I did whatever I could, and then I requested a refund. But I worry that Black Wake has a little bit of Evolve problems in it, meaning... If you don't have a good captain, you're shit out of luck. Like, you're so dependent on that one important person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Evolve, like, if you didn't have a good monster...
It's not as fun, but it's to you to make up for that captain.
I think that's a pretty broad comparison, though. Like, I wouldn't compare those two games because they just aren't similar. I mean, Evolve has plenty of other reasons why it was unsuccessful and, in my opinion, unenjoyable. But, I mean, yeah, if you don't have a good captain, you're not going to have the best time. But you can mutiny the captain pretty easily and you get someone on there who knows what they're doing. And if you go on, you have to hop around to servers a little bit till you find one where people take it seriously. Because I went into one server and everyone was just kind of dicking around. I got out of there. I went to another server and I'm like, okay, these guys kind of take it a little more seriously. One dude comes in and he starts like fucking around on the mic, you know, saying some shit and then just throwing buckets of water on people. And then boom, immediately it's like vote kick. Brrr, and the dude's gone. Like people who want to like actually play the game and take it seriously, like they have a very low tolerance for other people who don't. You just got to find the right server.
Yeah.
Fastidious was also saying the first day he stepped in without us, he's like, man, people are role playing and stuff. And what's funny is I found that really funny is role playing isn't more fun. It's more, what do you call it? It's the right way to do it. Like the reason that culture evolved is because that's the best way to do shit on chips.
Gotcha.
So you start to like aye captain, stuff like that, because mm-hmm. that is the best way to let captain know that you're going to do what he's going to say and so on and so on. And, I think I was talking too much on my, like I was telling him stuff and then I was like, oh wait, he probably knows this already because he can see me doing it. But like, the reason that the culture on ships evolved is because it's the most efficient way to run a ship. Thus, the best way to play this game is to RP.
Okay. So the Fair more enough. Charismatic,
yeah. I like it.
The more charismatic you are, the better the captain you are.
No, probably. I think so because well, the captain has to build a relationship with the crew. You know, he's got to be able to to lead them. And yeah, you can have captains who their method is like being really strict and really aggressive, or captains who are very encouraging. I mean, whatever you need to do to get the best out of your crew, that definitely comes into effect here. And I see what Emilio's saying too, because sometimes you have a game, and I consider this a good game if it can do this. You have a game that. I don't know. I want to draw the comparison to Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead, you could be in the safe zone and your buddy is out there getting clawed to death and he's like, come rescue me. But you're like, if I do that, I risk both of us dying. I need to make that decision. Do I go out and rescue him or do I stay here and survive? And that is a decision you would make in a zombie apocalypse. It mirrors its source in the game perfectly. And that's exactly what happens in Black Wake too. Like, you don't mean to role play, but you end up doing it because that's what the game demands of you. And it just makes for this really immersive experience.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a couple things. It's kind of glitchy. The swimming doesn't work.
Oh, repairing the sails is the hardest thing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on. But it's almost like the difficulty is inherent because climbing the sails and fixing them would be super hard.
When you climb the sails, if you press like the up arrow key to climb, you will go at an angle and fall off. So you learn I have to press left as well and kind of angle that direction. Mm-hmm. It is a bit wonky and it crashed on me a few times.
It's wonky.
Yeah, last week I said, like, I was impressed at how well the game ran, and it still runs very well. Chad, I had a similar problem with you where the loading screen sat there for a really long time, especially the first time I loaded up the game, and then after that it was a lot quicker. But
long? Like, Chad. 10 minutes?
No, not like 10 minutes.
Like, but I let it sit for a while.
Maybe like a minute. For a loading screen, that's a long time. 1 minute is a long time.
So related to the captains, sorry, I just wanted to say that the charismatic and everything, it's also true in guilds. Like, if a guild, especially if you're raiding,
absolutely,
it's like the same thing. So I'm sure a lot of gamers can relate. Like, if you, it's night and day going raiding from one guild to another, and it's all dependent on that person that's driving the raid.
Can I just say that I experience a glass ceiling when it comes to captaining.
But you got all the way to the top.
I imagine in large servers, especially for me, for instance, the reason why I rage is because this one dude would just not listen to my orders, and we lost because I was a female captain that, of course, sounded like she didn't know what she was doing.
Did you know what you were doing, too? Huh?
Barely, but you know what?
We okay, won the so first maybe time. He had a point.
We won the first time. Okay. We had a 1-point lead and won the first time I was ever captain. Princess Buttercup won. That was the name of my ship, by the way.
Fair enough. What were you saying, Emilio?
And one other thing. This is just a little thing. If you do pick up Black Wake, we blew a hole in a ship that had rammed us, and there's a giant hole, and I was like, okay, I can infiltrate. So I jumped off our ship, swam into their ship, killed their bilgers, killed their fucking the guys that were loading the cannons, went upstairs. I killed like 5 dudes. Like, that's a lot of guys.
That's a lot.
And
especially considering the reload.
And I came up like 5th on the scoreboard. I build one game all game. Second place.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do
is build. I feel like that's intentional because working the bilge is not the glamorous job, and it's not what people want to do. It's not very exciting, but it's the most important job. Yeah. So it's kind of like they reward you with points for doing that.
But shooting people is super fun. All right, let's move on. Enough Black Wake. Never going to be brought up again.
Well, I don't know
about
that.
Until next week.
I mean, this is a game. I mean, the last point I want to hit on this, is this something that you guys are going to continue to play? Because I'm still playing this maybe a round or two here, even by myself.
Yeah, if I see you guys on, this is what we're playing.
Oh, this is definitely a very fun,
see, me playing this game does not depend at all on other people
playing.
And
plus, you can't get that mad if somebody's not doing well, like in Vermintide. If somebody's just kind of like falling.
No, I could get really mad at that. Like, furious.
We'll see. We should all get together in a ship. My only gripe is that I really do hope, well, not my only gripe, but my biggest gripe is that I hope they do integrate some type of like party where we're not perpetually resetting servers and trying to end up on the same side.
And here goes another fastidious shout out. Chad?
Oh, okay. So I mentioned last week that I was going to do the raid with Fastidious and WoW, and I actually got there and did the raid. We raided Nighthold. We got through the whole thing.
You said your gear was poop.
So so halfway through, so I sent him, I was talking on voice chat. There was probably like 12 of us in the raid or so, and we were talking on voice chat, but I sent him a message. I said, you know, like, how's my DPS doing? Am I crap? He's like, so he texts me back that I was doing.
How would he know?
Because people have DPS charts. You know, they have mods that keep track of DPS. I do, but I haven't been on long enough. I need to re-upload.
You have to update it, or else it just doesn't work.
So he said I was doing just worse than the tanks. And then he started laughing, and then it came out that how bad I was doing. And but anyways,
did you get hazed?
In their defense, yeah, apparently. So he has this crew that he runs with. One guy is a little flamboyant on his gayness.
Yeah.
Which is cool, like it's hilarious. And yeah.
Oh, he's a gamer, G-A-Y-M-E-R. Yeah. I love those.
Yeah, and he was awesome. But like, I love people that just embrace, you know, like,
yeah,
this is it, and this is what I'm going with. So he was making cock jokes. It was a great time. Fastidious, related to guild leaders that are charismatic, I thought Fast did a good job. You know, like, he's like, they were chatting the whole time like they knew each other, but then like if we wiped a couple times, he'd be like, okay, game faces, guys, we gotta buckle down and do this.
Yeah.
Obviously it helps that they had been rating this content a bunch.
Can I make a metaphor sure. about you, Chad? I'm not sure if this is gonna make you feel any better about yourself.
Okay, go for it.
Like the way you just talked about your DPS charts coming just below the tank as a DPS.
Yeah.
My God. If for some reason we were in like one of those kitty,
I know you would have raged.
Sorry, if for some reason we were in one of those kitty Hot Wheels, you know what I'm talking about, right? Ones that definitely have a weight restriction.
Yeah.
And we were all trying to go, but it was just too heavy of a load. We'd be like, Chad, get off the Hot Wheel.
Yeah.
We're gonna cruise down the block.
Would have been
better off
without you.
Would be the first kid that we kick out.
No, I thought that halfway through because this is. Flex rating. So the difficulty depends on how many people you go. So one less person would make it easier. And I was thinking to myself, I'm actually making this harder for them because the DPS that I'm bringing is not worth the person being
in. If you can't bring the DPS, what do you bring, Chad?
Yeah, exactly. No, nothing.
What?
But I haven't rated, and I haven't been on WoW in like a month. And so I appreciate Fast carrying me along is basically what I said. And afterwards I said that, thanks for carrying me.
Oh my gosh.
Me,
so. At least some confidence. Come on, yeah. Chad.
She used a metaphor to call you dead weight.
Yeah. No, I, I literally was.
Very roundabout way of...
She metatore you a new asshole.
The worst part is, like, I always come to raids prepared. You know, like, I have flasks. Like,
yeah, except for all your gear sucks.
No, wait. I always come to raids prepared. I read up on it. I know the strategy. I know how to do it. But this time around, I was busy at work. I couldn't do it. I couldn't prep anything. So I literally... He had to explain every fight to me, even though I was the only one that had never been on the fight. They probably wasted an hour on just stuff for me.
Yeah, you suck. Yeah. All right.
So thanks, Fast. Appreciate it. Reinstall. I'll be there next week, maybe.
I played a little game called...
Actually, no, I won't. I can't. Sorry.
Clang.
Clang.
Clang is very similar to Two Finger.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did kill Gul'dan. That was the last boss of Nighthold.
Clang is a Pokemon, mode, apparently.
And it was awesome.
This game amazing. Sounds amazing. But unfortunately, in the half hour that I played, it was not fun.
Because you're terrible at this game.
Well, when you were watching,
you have no rhythm. You're playing a rhythm game with no rhythm.
Guy.
I know. I have amazing rhythm.
Although it does this demand a lot out of you. It is a platformer, but the platforming isn't difficult. It's a rhythm game.
And, I love rhythm games.
But... One, I didn't feel the beats transpire to what was going on the screen, like, very well. You know, some games, it's like, it's right there. It's like Crypt of the Necro Dancer. It's like, do, 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 do. And you have to hit the button every single time. But this one was like, music was playing, and things would happen, but they didn't necessarily have to be going on together. It really sucks because if games were made of three things, it landed two so well, but the last one, the most important one, fun, wasn't there.
Mm.
I probably won't even take a second look at this, but it looks amazing. It sounds
amazing.
It just isn't amazing, and it's kind of a heartbreaker.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 71 on Metacritic.
It almost looks like Audio Surf turned into a platformer.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. Gee, maybe try it out off of my
maybe,
account.
Because
or
I do love my rhythm.
Maybe
games.
I'm off. Maybe
and
I want to
really
say that
rhythm.
I'm off, but.
I mean, you were definitely off when I was watching you play.
Yeah, so. You walked in. Every
you
time you walk in.
Your own music in this?
No. This is.
No.
This is definitely like set up, like okay. boss fights. They come in on time to the music. And
the
stuff.
Graphics are sick.
And this is
sick.
Clang with a K.
Yeah, Clang with a K. All right, who's got next?
So, as I reiterated early on or last week, I'm having shit problems with my computer. So finally, after Black Wake failed on me, I said, "Fuck this! I am reinstalling Windows." So you can get a Windows installer for 4 gigs and put it on a flash drive mm-hmm. or a mem stick or whatever. And so I did that and reinstalled Windows. So one of the things I talked about last week was I was concerned about the Windows, you know, having the Windows key and have it working. Dara Sotre mentioned that an OEM copy should have no problems. And he was surprised Bobby didn't mention that. So, calling you out on that a little bit. But anyways, I installed Windows 10 is now tied to your Windows login. So when I put my Windows login, it already had the key logged in. I never had to put my key back in. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'd installed. So it's all back in there. Didn't have a problem. Haven't had a problem yet. But I also haven't played a lot of games because work is just fucking me straight in the butthole. So So anyways.
That's why you're not drinking tonight.
I'm actually drinking a little bit tonight.
Amelia spiked my coffee.
Yeah, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, he put a lot in.
She's coming home with me tonight.
He did.
You know what? I had to reinstall Windows when I got a new hard drive.
That's not true.
That was the worst joke ever.
When I had to reinstall Windows, when I had to replace my hard drive, I noticed that I didn't have to put in a key the second time around. I didn't really question it. I was just like, all right, seems to work.
I can probably revisit this because I do plan to install Windows 10 very soon as possible. I do want to play Gigantic, the closed beta, open beta, I'm not sure.
I think it's moving to open because it's been closed for a long time.
Yeah, and you need Windows 10 in order to, and that's the only I should have upgraded, and I will, and I'll tell you how that goes.
Bobby, you went to GameSync, a local place?
Yeah, Chi and I both went. Yeah, we went yesterday. Finally got a chance to check out one of San Diego's...
Probably the only San Diego Land Center.
Well, there's one out in East County and that I believe is still there. But this one, yeah, it might be the last one left or it might be one of like two in this area. But you don't see those. These popped up a lot, like in the mid-2000s. There were gaming centers, land centers in the mall, wherever. And then they kind of just disappeared. But this one is still around. So
24/7,
too. Yeah, 24/7, 365 days a year, this place is open. And
that's cool.
When we got there, the place was a lot smaller than I expected. They only have 12 PCs that people can game on. They had some set up in the back, but that was for like the people who work there.
Not for claustrophobics.
Is one of the PCs a VR?
No.
Wow.
They had some like...
Dropping the ball.
We had some...
We should open our own land center? Is
it's
that
probably really expensive to do that.
Just kidding.
Yeah. $800 a pop.
Yeah, I don't know if people would really play that because people who go to land centers, they go there for like long durations of time too. And everybody was playing pretty much what I expected. A lot of League and a little bit of Overwatch.
Some Counter-Strike.
Yeah, some Counter-Strike.
Pornhub.
But it's kind of watching anime in between, I noticed, in between League rounds, a lot of that. But a lot of people, or a lot of the, what the fuck was I just going to say?
Words.
One of the people playing League of Legends. Okay.
No, they have like the same kind of system that the last land center I've been to had, where they have some login thing where you go in and you they set you up with a code and you get hours on that and then you can access the games from there. And it was pretty impressive. Like they seem to have a pretty good operation going there. This seems like it'd be a lot of fun for a group of people to go.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But the problem is it's a first come, first serve basis. So when Chi and I got there, there was maybe two or three spots open. So we sat down to play some games and stuff, and then eventually we got up and talked to some other people. But while we were there, three people came in and they were like, "Well, we're sorry, we only got one spot."
I actually gave
up
my seat. I was like, "Oh, hello. Okay, you can have the seat." Sorry, that was very Asian because it was just
you're Asian,
three
you can
Asian
do
kids.
It.
Like they didn't speak English the entire time they were there. So, and they were there to play League.
Yeah.
And there were only two one computer that was open and they needed three. And I was like, oh, these boys want to play together. I'm not going to interrupt their game time. Just so
very
I can,
nice
like,
of you, Chi.
Yeah, fiddle with it. So.
And had they played with you, you would have just yelled at them or just abandoned them either way.
That's true.
They were playing League. I would play League with those
guys. I watched a Vice special on a Korea and like Korean nightlife and stuff like that. And, you know, they have nightclubs and all that, but a lot of what they do is they get together, they get dressed up, and they go to the internet
cafes
and play Peachy games bunch. All night.
The thing about this, though, this internet cafe physically did not meet my expectations because I grew up playing in a LAN center in my hometown during the 1.6 turning into Source era. WoW was huge because it was before even an expansion came out. And these were comfy. There was carpet. There was space. There was like basically a mini cafe inside the LAN center.
Yeah.
And I lived in Atlanta for a little bit, and there were LAN center bars where there was an entire bar section.
They got to be doing something right.
So I'm a little spoiled.
They got to be doing something right.
Like here in San Diego, for a big city like San Diego, as a LAN center, like, I mean, obviously the people there were great. But the setup itself, it's not ideal
for
comfort. It's hard to
find. There wasn't a lot of space.
On both of your points, I think not a lot of space keeps renting down.
Yeah.
And not they're probably just making it, or maybe there's a reason they're the only ones that are still. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just
amazing
people.
Well, they're 24/7. I imagine they're making quite a bit of money. When we were there, to them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this dude's been here all night. He just slept in that chair.
He literally slept in the chair."
And he paid for it the whole time.
And I asked one of the female volunteers there. I was like, "Do you feel safe around here? Because you know it's a 24-hour joint." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, no.
It's in a good neighborhood. It's right by the base."
There's no real residential and or foot traffic. It's actually in a very warehouse.
But to get it
area, a business area,
industrial.
To get it industrial out of San Diego and back to like the listeners on this.
Sorry,
do you guys think this is a viable business that can keep existing? These internet cafes. Is there a market for it?
See, the one that I lived next to out in East County was also a repair/parts shop for computers. And then they had the LAN as kind of a secondary part of it.
See, I think I should,
shop in front of the LAN center.
I would do it differently. I would make it just like a karaoke bar, but I would have people playing games instead of doing singing. You know, you get in with your group of eight people, you buy a bottle of alcohol, you all play the games together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can answer all our questions. Asians are future people.
That's true.
The Koreans are all about the internet cafes.
So it's a different
culture.
Coffee. Put a cafe forefront and then a LAN center in the back and hello.
Yep.
I don't know.
Daddy, please sponsor me.
Just because Korea does it, it would work out here because it's a completely different culture over there. But I think the one thing I liked about StarTech, the one out in El Cajon, was they had a couch with a big screen TV, and people could hang out there, play console games, or watch like esports events on that. And it felt more of like a hangout, like a club, like a social thing.
The problem is, where do they make money from? If people are just hanging out, not
the
doing
business
it,
side, I have no fucking clue. I couldn't tell you.
That's the problem.
I mean, there's money in, you have to invest initially for the equipment, but then after that, you're paying for electricity and internet, and that's about it. They had some really good equipment there. It was almost all SteelSeries, headsets,
very nice. Very
keyboards,
clean.
Mice, DX Racer chairs, Maxnomic chairs. Like they had. They had high quality computer gear there. They weren't like going cheap on anything.
I can't be responsible for anything I said from here on in. I just hit super drunk.
Okay.
Right now.
So we're muting his mic.
Let's take a shot.
What's going on next? OSIC audio?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. While we were there, we met with some people who are developing this headset that is not solely for VR, but works very well with VR. It's OSSIC Audio, OSSIC. Check out their website and their YouTube videos, and you'll see what they're about. It's kind of like, I almost compare it to Dolby Atmos. When you go to a theater and it's like directional sound comes from anywhere, but except with this, we move your head and it adjusts where the sound comes from. So that's why it works so well with VR.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
I met with that guy, and he might be coming on the podcast to talk to us about that product, and we might be going over to their not really store, but their not factory, but base of operations.
Their building. Yeah.
Words, Bobby.
9:30 on a Monday night.
Like, it's only 9:30, Bobby. The net is still young. So we have a teacher and a bartender here in the same room. So our
opposite hours.
Completely polar.
Oh my God.
So Bobby, just to reiterate, so if you're looking straight ahead and you have an explosion to your back left, but so, then you look to your
right. I don't
know.
I haven't used these. Like, I'm a little confused on the product myself, which is why I'm excited to
try it out. We'll testing them. And you know what?
Yeah, but when are we doing it? Do we know?
Yeah,
we'll get back to you. Within the next 2 weeks, he said.
Yeah. Moving on.
But really quick, before I, like, just to reiterate this, the virtuality of the sound, I'm eager to test out the sound differences when you crouch.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because crouching is huge in a lot of games.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It does affect the sound.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see how crouching with this type of headset makes it a difference.
That's cool, though. The fact that it'll pick up motion is an interesting concept.
Squat.
All right. Streets of Rogue. What are we talking about, Streets of Rogue?
I'm not ready for that. What's Summoner's War?
That is on Chad's Mobile Corner. I guess we're not doing the audio this time around. Chad's Mobile Corner. Clown Lotion asked if I would play Summoner's War, and I must tell you, it's exactly like everything else. I will say, on a positive side, it's really well done.
When you say everything else, you mean like you had a paywall pretty quickly?
No, it's the same turn-based fighting system, 3v3, 4v4, and then you just go a series of stuff. So it's just like the DC one and the Marvel one and all the other ones.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
and you have to explain that because I play pinball games and toss the turtle.
Okay, fair enough. So it's a turn-based fighting game, and you go a couple rounds, and they've got special moves or basic attacks. I will say it's really well done. I didn't have any problem with any of the thing. It was giving me free stuff enough that I didn't feel like I had to pay for things right off the bat. So all that was good. The one
but
thing
you're
that,
sick of the genre.
I'm just I could list you 10 different ones that will all do the same one, and what separates this from the other ones.
Right.
The one thing that I will tell you that I really did appreciate in this game, and this is the first time I've ever seen it,
is the titties.
Yep, that was it. No, when you first get into these mobile games, they ask for permissions a lot of times. Like, will you allow permission to use the phone on this game, or use your contacts, or use your files? You know,
sure.
All those.
Yeah.
I almost always try to deny it because I don't want my applications to get in my phone. I don't want them to learn anything more than they have to on a game.
Yeah.
This game was really nice because the first screens that came up said, "Hey, we're going to ask you to do this, and this is why we're asking you for it, and this is what we're getting out of it, and and so please say yes to it." And it actually explained it. And then after I said okay on those screens, then it brought up the permissions stuff.
Was it like nice guy user agreement?
No, it was like we're not going to use your pictures or stuff. All we need to do is get in your files so we can save these files on your phone. You know, please set it up as yes so we can use your files for that in that manner. And I just really like that. Like, when you ask me for things right off the bat, I'm going to tell you no unless you give me a reason why I should say yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these mobile games, the first thing they say is give us permission. And I hate that. So I thought that was really cool. But other than that, Summoner's War, nice. It was cool, but nothing to write home about. I might play it for another week and see if there's more to it. And Clown Lotion, if you got something that there's a reason I should be playing it, let me know, because I didn't see it so far.
Single player, multiplayer?
It's exactly like the same, like everyone. You make a team, and then you can fight other people's team in asynchronous combat, and other people can fight yours, but you don't actually fight them as far as I could see in real time.
Okay. It's kind of like Final Fantasy fighting, but there is no walking around. There is no none. You just, it's only battles.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And then they try to make you pay money so that you can have
you level battles. Up yeah. or you get more guys.
Yeah. yeah.
Something like that. Okay. However they see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Streets of Rogue. I want to do a really, and this is something special. It's really, really good. 97% on Steam.
Bobby, can you look up Streets of Rogue?
It had a free Thanks. Weekend. It is 8-bit graphics, top down, top down. There is a whole, I paid an hour and a half, and it's not. It's
oh,
not
this
enough.
One, yeah, I've seen videos.
It's not enough to, like, give you a great review. All I can say is that all I have played, I have enjoyed immensely.
Uh-huh.
It has everything from, it has stealth, it has action, it has RPG, it has shooter, it has co-op, it has mega game, brawler. It has all these things.
That's
however
cool.
you want to play, literally, you know, like, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I was complaining about how, like, games are, like, go loud, go soft, but we're only going to give you... Oh, that was like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're only going to give you accolades if you go soft.
Yeah.
And, you don't alert anybody. No, this is like, do you, and we'll make up the rest.
That's
the
cool.
The game's not done. It's still in its alpha. Still fantastic. Yes, I played that as the gorilla. So you can unlock different characters, and they're vastly different. I played about 4 or 5 characters. Let's say the gorilla, right? Can't speak to humans, obviously. Can't conscript humans to play with them, okay. obviously. Shopkeepers don't want you in their store, obviously. Like, stuff like that. But you're gorilla strong. You can smash people through walls. Fantastic, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Everything's good about that. The doctor, everybody trusts the doctor.
So gorilla was a class? Basically.
Yeah, okay. pretty much.
Yeah,
the doctor.
That's fun.
The doctor, you can walk in pretty much anywhere. Everybody trusts the doctor till you chloroform their ass.
Okay.
So you're chloroforming everybody throughout this thing. Randomly generated levels, super fun.
Yeah.
You can. What I thought was really interesting and cool was okay. So let's say. What is that space roguelike? Everspace.
FTL?
Everspace.
FTL so, is also one.
Yeah.
So Everspace, when you die, you go back and you're like, hull stronger. And my hull is stronger forever.
Yep.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Or sharper left turns. Whatever it is, it's persistent. This has persistent evolution, but it's not every time. Basically, you just have more options. So... like a lot of roguelikes, at the end of the level, you get a choice. This just elaborates on the choices of what you get. So the first time I beat a level, I got 3 choices, and they were kind of lame.
Okay.
Then I unlocked 7 different choices and also more options for the choices. So there was 5 things that weren't so lame. And eventually, it's going to be 20 things that I can choose from.
And they're all cool.
And they're all cool.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't mean that I upgraded my character. I'm always going to start at a 0-0.
Gotcha.
Which is fantastic.
So it's kind of like Binding of Isaac, where you beat the level and it unlocks a piece. But that piece you don't necessarily see in your run. But you will now have the option to start seeing it.
Correct. When you Google
but this one,
this,
you can choose the option.
When you Google this, the first thing I noticed, the first article I noticed, it says Binding of Isaac meets Deus Ex.
Yeah, because you can go stealth. But I fucking hate stealth, and everybody knows this. So I go hard every time, and you know what? I don't feel like I've been...
like, you go gorilla every time.
I go gorilla, I go...
So you can pick your class when you start off?
Yeah. And here's the best thing. Here's the tipping point.
Okay.
Local co-op. Online co-op.
Oh, fun.
Multiplayer. Every single version of multiplayer there is.
Okay.
That's fun.
It's fantastic. Okay. I love it. But this is my... precursor to my real review next week.
Okay. So you already bought it?
I already bought it, played it.
Because it was a free week.
I do like that it says, so it is Streets of Rogue, and the actual logo or the banner of the game almost looks like Streets of Rage in terms of like the font.
Yeah, they're going. I think they're teasing at a lot of things.
Yeah.
And as you play the game, you'll see a lot of.
There are minute RPG elements from what I could tell too.
Yeah.
On there. Some,
yeah.
That's
cool.
That's neat.
Factorio. Did you play that?
Yeah, that's not the name of that game, right?
Factorio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought it. I played it for 5 minutes. I realized it was a survival. What do you call it?
Like base building, sort of.
Yeah,
it's crafting survival, but
crafting survival. That's what I was.
But it's not.
And so I was just thrown in, and there was no description. So I need to learn how to play. I'll get back to you guys next week, maybe the week after that.
Okay.
Awesome. Wallpaper Engine was fantastic, actually.
This was the one that makes the live wallpaper or the moving wallpapers, right?
Yeah, but that's not everything
it does.
Yeah. You can basically turn any picture or video into a wallpaper, which is nice. You can go record something and just upload it, and it'll be your wallpaper. What I didn't know when I bought it,
Yeah. That's what I was talking about, but
yeah,
it's not this one particularly, but it's essentially the same concept.
This is awesome. I am so happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
The Mayo helped me out with a lot of stats. He gave me videos of him running it at full clip with the little monitor. What do you call that thing? That shows you your CPU usage.
The task monitor.
The system monitor. System monitor, and you know, it never goes
task manager.
Oh, this is
it's
so
the activity
cool.
monitor in a Mac.
Activity monitor.
It never goes past 1%.
Okay,
it never goes past 1%.
So we asked last week of whether or not it would be a tax on your system.
Wicked,
it never goes past 1%.
This is on the fly customization for your background.
Sick,
yeah,
it's sick, G. It's $3 too. Yeah,
sold.
Oh, is that like a
and Warcraft? Another giant selling point is. That is Steam Workshop.
Yeah.
When you buy this, you're going to get eight things. And you're like, these eight things are cool, but I'd rather something else. And then you see that there's 200,000 things.
Oh, because of the Steam Workshop?
Steam Workshop, yeah. And the other thing I didn't know is that some of them are audio sensitive. So, a.k.a. if you play music, your wallpaper will have a...
The equalizer effect, like in
exactly.
Winamp.
Oh, dude, I'm already.
It's fucking dope show.
This is
guys.
So amazing. Everybody needs to go on Steam, search Wallpaper Engine, and purchase this
fantastic.
Immediately.
Yes.
Like the
I don't think I'm going to do that.
I need to do this right now.
You're not going
to
do it, but Chad?
If it's 1%, that's too many percents for my wallpaper.
You're fucking gay.
God damn it, Chad.
Like gay is like the bad gay, not the good gay.
Sorry. Well, I don't know. I'll look into it, but. Yeah, I probably won't.
Have you seen my wallpaper?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know, because you always have programs up, so you never see your wallpaper.
My wallpaper is a city with, like, cars going down it and stuff, and, like, it might be New
that
York
is
or
really
whatever.
Cool.
But it, I don't know why, but it seems like a portal into a different world. Like, I'm looking into a real city.
I love that it's an...
It's amazing.
It's an interactive wallpaper, which is why... I like about it too, like whether it's related to audio. I saw that there was something that actually would change your wallpaper depending
according
on your mouse cursor location and everything else.
And you could search by most popular, you know, all the workshop engine stuff. If people don't know what workshop is by now, find another podcast. But second of all, it's just
don't find another podcast, please. go to Steam. Please.
We're the only one.
Yeah, we need all 12 of you. Yeah. Please
be with me forever.
It's when people upload mods games on Steam, and you can just all you have to do is click subscribe. You now own that thing. It's amazing.
It's
called Wallpaper Engine, by the way.
It adds awe to downtime. Like, it's amazing. It's beautiful. I love it.
Cool. Well, you get it this week, Chi, and let us know.
Warconius says,
I'll have to let you know.
The more drunk I get, the
Warconius.
Warconius, yeah.
Warconius.
Yes, I get the more. I'm more convincing the drunker I get.
Yeah, although, stop drinking, please.
You made him leave. He's not here anymore.
All right, what else we got, Bobby?
All right, let's
see. Well, real quick, before we move on, just super small tangent. When we went to the GameSync LAN Center, and the fact that you were talking about audio-sensitive wallpapers, yeah. When we went to GameSync, they had this obscure device called the Novant. It's no longer in production, and it was actually a texture-based controller where it literally looked like a probe on a desk, and you had your hand on the probe, and depending on what texture... the demo had a ball, and the ball would have different textures like sandpaper, rubber, rough. And when you held this probe, you can actually, you interacted with the ball, and it would react in the sense that you could feel the scratchiness and the roughness of the sandpaper.
Crazy.
Or you could feel the bounce back of the ball, 100%.
Wow.
And then there was also a gun, a handheld thing, so it was the first of any that I've seen or heard of, not really related to PC gaming, but it was really cool because it was a controller that for once, outside of vibration, was texture-based.
I was listening to the How Stuff Works, and they did an episode on like sex through VR and stuff, and haptic feedback.
That probe would
and all
be perfect
stuff.
For sexual.
And I guess there's somebody
like,
working on
even
stuff.
Calder,
it's
I
like,
think.
I don't know who's working on it, but apparently they can. What they're trying to do is use sound waves to disrupt air where you think you'll be touching something. So they just shoot out some sort of wave, and it creates air bubbles to the right pressure to you picking up that pistol and pulling a trigger. Does that make any sense?
So it's sensory. Anybody? It's like virtual reality, but sensory
right.
reality.
So there's several firms working on this right now.
Yeah.
It fucking sounds
By the
amazing.
Way, this is a question that I'm going to ask you guys and the listeners. Is there
you can
any
tell who's
vibration?
On this podcast. It's just me, Chief.
Is there any.
Bobby's falling asleep.
Bobby's literally falling asleep.
One thing I noticed about playing console to PC games like Mass Effect, for instance, is that I was missing out on certain elements of controller vibration. So is there any element where I can get vibration playing mouse and keyboard?
They do have haptic feedback keyboards.
Okay.
But they're really expensive, I think.
Okay.
But yes, I think I have heard.
What happened to the DX
haptic?
Races?
What are they called? Haptic?
Vibrate?
Haptic. No, wait. Haptic. Oh, that would be fun. Sorry.
Bobby, are there DX racers that vibrate? There should
I hope
be, right?
Not.
You hope not.
What?
The ladies in the room beg to differ, my friend.
All right, we're moving on, people. Chi, game giveaways, you want to talk?
Oh, yeah, really quick. I noticed everybody's streaming a lot more. I think that's awesome. If you guys haven't actually realized that Bobby got into streaming and Amelia got into streaming. You guys probably already know that I exist as a Twitch streamer. It's how we actually all connected here. I think it's awesome you guys are streaming. And recently on my stream, I'm trying to push more giveaways outside of t-shirts.
Bobby's getting giggly because he's so sleepy.
What?
<He's> No, I was just thinking about when I was streaming, everybody was just tripping out about my sideburns. And it was like, I've had sideburns since I was like 14. Like as soon as I got any sort of hair on my face, I was like, yep, they're coming in.
Wolverine.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. People were cracking up.
Oh, by the way, Logan is the best movie you ever made.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's decent.
Oh, Logan is good. I saw that. That's good. Anyways, in regards to my stream, I did do recently a giveaway. I mentioned it on Discord while it was going live. So if you want to catch any giveaways, I will always post it when it is going live on Discord. And, of course, through our Steam community and whatnot. We did. Bobby mentioned he has too many Steam keys to give away. I had no idea what I was signing up for until I actually opened up that document. And it actually exceeds over 300 titles.
Yep.
And when I had spoken with Bobby, I was like, Bobby, how would you describe...
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, Bobby, how would you describe the titles on this spreadsheet?
And what was his answer?
Exactly what they were, bundle trash.
Bundle trash, with the exception of maybe 10 good games, like, in a separate category.
Evil Land 2 is a great game.
Yeah.
I told you guys, the good ones are at the bottom. There's Rise, Son of Rome in there.
Yeah.
I think someone got Dirt 3, the complete edition. That's
actually yeah, that was
game.
One of it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So,
Bobby, would you... I don't know what I was going to say. Go ahead, Chi.
My creative way to get rid of the bundle trash Not necessarily get rid of, but
well, it's hard to give away stuff when you call it trash.
I did a random game giveaway.
Ooh, I like it.
And when you won the giveaway, you picked a number 1 through 200, which is...
Pick low, people, if you have...
which is less than how many Steam keys we have. 1 through 200, you picked a number, and then whatever that number came up with on the spreadsheet, that was the game that you gave away.
Oh, nice.
And the three games I gave away, I only remember two of the three. I'm sorry. That's what, you know, Dirt 3... Just kidding, I only remember
I
one.
That game.
When I remember the rest, they will.
Anyway, games are going on our Steams, in our streams. I gave away one on Twitter. So we're giving away
games,
a lot of games.
Like virtually every single time we
stream or
post something, we're trying to give something away. So
go to our site, dlgaming.net, if you want any of that info, because that's where you can get our streaming info. Can you get streaming info there? If not, you can get it off our Discord.
If not, somebody's dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Let's move it on.
Listener questions? Are you all good? Did you finish?
I finished. Mini Del Macho, actually, just in Discord now, since we're recording live, mentioned that he won the giveaway, but he won DLC to a game he didn't have. And he's like, thanks,
Congrats, Mini Del Macho. All right,
we can't help you, dude.
Listener questions. We have suggestions and questions channel in our Discord, and some people had some stuff that went in. First one was from a guy named Hasta Hakan. I think I'm saying his name right.
Hasta Hakan.
He just said, "Hey, I'd like to hear more talk about Quake Champions, Lawbreakers, Lost Ark, and Lineage Eternal." Great podcast, by the way. The reason I bring this up is Lawbreakers. Actually, you did review the pre-alpha. I'm curious, are you going to go back into
Lawbreakers?
Hated
it. Two snaps down. Like,
so you're
at
not
the time, but
two snaps down.
Yeah, I've heard like. I've heard a lot of people say that they liked it since, so I need to get back in there and check it out.
The other reason I wanted to bring
Quake
this
Champions,
up...
Quake Champions. What is Quake Champions?
Quake Champions is the remake of Quake that is either coming out soon or came out.
So you want Sinfall and shit that's not out?
Well, some of the two other ones, Lost Ark and Lineage Eternal, I believe are both Korean games that are coming out to... coming out to the States. I did some research on Lost Ark because I had never heard of that game before, and it looks fucking sick. So I will definitely be giving it
a go.
I will definitely be giving it a go when it comes out. It's kind of like an isometric Diablo-style game, but it's an MMO, so I'm not really sure how that all works, but it looks fucking sick.
Well, he gave us four games. There's four podcasters. Maybe we should just grab one and do our homework.
I don't want everybody to think that they can just put games up and then we play them.
Yeah.
But
I'll pick up Lineage Eternal. You do Lost Ark, Emilio Lawbreakers, and of course Quake for Nostalgia Avenue.
I'll cover Pornhub.
Yeah.
Pornhub is not an option.
We'll see what we can do. But thanks for the suggestions, Hasta Hakan. I like saying that name, Hasta Hakan.
Yeah, sounds good.
Next up, Warconius says... Go ahead, Bobby, read that off, will you?
Let's see, another idea for a topic. There have been reports that Zelda sales are up among ladies because Link is quote-unquote hot.
He looks like Ryan Gosling.
Your top three... So he's asking, your top three sexy game characters from PC gaming. And his, in no particular order, are Lara Croft, Adam Jensen, and Morrigan from Dragon Age.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I like that he put a lady and a guy in there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Switching it
Who
up.
Who is Adam Jensen?
No robots, though. So. Well, he was half robot.
Adam Deus Ex?
I don't know.
Adam Jensen, JSX?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adam Jensen from Deus Ex.
So I do know. I do know.
The most recent, not Mankind Divided, but the other one.
Human Revolution?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I don't have mine at the ready. Does anybody?
I will definitely put Miranda up there. She was pretty much the whole reason I played
Mass Effect. I don't blame you.
Mass Effect
2, and she cameoed in Mass Effect 3.
Oh, okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I was really mad that she wasn't in Mass Effect 3. Ruined my whole Mass Effect 3 playing experience.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with Lara Croft, then Aphrodite from Smite.
Ooh, okay. Good one.
Like not bad.
Dripping with sex.
I mean, she is the goddess of sex.
Yeah. And then what was Miranda from...
No. Your list is wrong. It'll be three female/spiders that are on your top list?
Arachne.
Arachne. What was the other spider one that we were talking about? You have this thing with spiders, but that's all right. Bobby?
No, I just don't discriminate.
He has the weirdest fetishes. But anyways, that's another story.
On the spot here. I don't know.
Clown Lotion says quiet from MSG, MGS5.
Who's that?
That's the one that was dressed in like a bikini when she was out at the... Yeah. Like for no reason.
Like we're all just picking the women who wear the least amount of clothes.
That's what I mean.
That's like the direction this is going.
Mine was fully body suited up.
You know, I always liked from Smite, I liked Artemis because she was like the only woman in there who didn't have like tits and ass popping out.
That's not true. Who's that armor chick that would teleport?
The one who would teleport to the different sets. I played a lot of her.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Started with a T, I think.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways,
it's been a while.
Anyway, yeah, but she was in like full real armor.
Yeah, but she was showing a little leg.
Oh, no, he only put two. How many?
Chi, so I want
to
hear
if you want to get to Bobby's heart, show thinking. Less skin.
I'm still thinking.
Hey, I like a classy Chi.
Who else?
that was it.
That was it for Bobby?
Chi, you got to throw a guy our way.
Bobby, finish up.
Let's go with
Artemis.
Sure, Artemis. Yeah, we'll take that one.
Okay.
We don't need to do all three.
She's a skank of fucking Smite, by the way. I've heard.
Yeah, but Aphrodite wasn't. All right, we're moving on then.
No, I want to hear.
This is dead air. Fine. We're just doing dead air here.
Okay,
now.
For me then, let me at least say out of the Mass Effect series, and I will say this because let me mention that I am replaying Mass Effect 3 on PC after only originally playing Mass Effect on Xbox. I am extremely frustrated since nothing will port over to PC, and I realized recently that my romance cannot continue on without a continuation of a save for Mass Effect 2.
Who was your guy into?
Well, my guy was Garrus from Mass Effect 2.
And I'd fuck Garrus.
God, he's so loyal. He's been there for you from the beginning. Okay. His voice has that Turian effect to it.
Yeah, like gravelly.
Super hot. Yeah. And who knows what his dick looks like.
Yeah.
It's probably a giant
scales everywhere.
I'm just going to say one word.
Anyways.
Pronged.
But what I love about that.
Forked. Forked, maybe.
So I actually, on YouTube, had to research the romance.
Bobby wants this out of his house so bad.
Romance storyboard for Garrus, since I know I'll be missing out for Mass Effect 3. And
you
it
YouTube
was an
this,
hour
right?
and 40 minutes. And I watched the whole thing like it was a movie. And it was just romance interactions between Commander Shepard and Garrus. Like, so Garrus obviously is up there, top three. And beyond Garrus, let's see, who else for male?
Well, it's Cloud Lotion.
She
didn't pick somebody overly muscular like
Cloud Lotion. No.
Cloud Lotion mentioned Yennefer from The Witcher. How about The Witcher guy? The Witcher guy is pretty smoldering, right?
The Dragon Age guy, I never played The Witcher, but the Dragon Age guy, he was really silly. I forgot his name. He had the... he was... One of your first
Dragon
party members.
And what's the next one?
With the armor, he was one of those people that would suppress the mages. He was a.
I don't know.
I don't remember his name, so obviously he's not top three. And one more, I had a really good one.
Sorry,
that
I interrupted
slipped
you.
My mind.
A lot but of Dragon
I liked,
Age though.
I like when
Morgan
I
from Dragon
I
Age.
Like Gippal from Gippal, Gippal.
Gippal
from. Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2. He was Riku's romance interest.
I never played that one.
And you've lost us.
Yep.
Oh, man. Come on, RPGs. Somebody's got to be
let's move on. Nerd.
Well, that was a good list, though, Chi.
I like that you brought that up.
It was Garrus and Gippal.
Yeah.
Names with G. Gaben. Hello.
Maybe a little forewarning, so I wouldn't pick a bunch of bag of hoes next time.
But that's your style.
That's your type?
Yeah. While I was working on my computer and getting it done, we were talking about malware and if that would be causing it, and I said I used Adware. One of our listeners, FigSec, said that's crap to... and I should get a VAST. Mm-hmm. Just a quick question, you guys. Do you guys use malware protection? And if so, what do you utilize? Like I said, I use Adware usually. I also use NoScript on my PC.
I follow my Lord and Savior, Bobby.
Yeah.
And all I have is Windows Defender, and it seems to be doing fine.
I actually don't have any currently, but I used to do Malwarebytes. Isn't that one? Mm-hmm.
Malwarebytes is good if you want to scan your computer and find something, but it's not real-time protection, not like active protection. Okay. Windows comes with Windows Defender, or it used to be under a different name. But it has its own built-in antivirus, and I just rely on that. Last time we brought this up, I got a little hate for that. People are like,
"But it's true." Like, I haven't had any issues.
Well, here's the deal: like, if you know what you're doing on the internet, you know, it depends on the user. You know,
like, I'm
jacking off the internet. What do you mean?
Yeah. He has his hand firmly. He's licking everything in the internet. Like, this guy has no protection at all.
No issues. Like, I think he's right. It's all about the, what do you call them?
The users, the end user.
No.
Like, what you're actually utilizing.
Go ahead. Sites.
Keep going.
Yeah. I don't know. It really depends on the person using it. Like, on my parents, I may run a little bit more stronger antivirus. And especially what I find most helpful is Adblock software. Because if you do a Google search, then the first couple of results are ads. And sometimes, not always, but very rarely, sometimes those ads will be malicious. You go to any news site. You go to, like whatever your local news website is, they run so many ads on there. And a lot of people just accidentally click on them, or click on them because there's a lot of these fake articles that are like, you know, is Donald Trump's son autistic? Click here for these photos.
The answer is yes.
Or something. And you click on it, and then it's like a link to a bunch of other like articles just like that. And they send you through this like rabbit hole through all this bullshit. And like, you get a lot of viruses that way. So people who aren't very good with computers, I just put Adblock for their own safety on there, because that will just take out any ads that they might click on.
Yeah, I use that.
It seems more
as
effective
well
than even an antivirus. I mean, no antivirus is 100% safe. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. They all kind of seem the same to me.
Cool. So, esports corner, I wanted to just bring this up. I'm bringing this up my laptop. Dota's doing prep work. They're doing the...
For another TI?
They're doing another major, the Kiev major, and they're doing the qualifiers. And apparently the qualifiers have been kind of a disaster, so I just wanted to talk about it. First of all, what do you guys think? Dota does basically three or four majors and the international every year versus mm-hmm. League of Legends or Hearthstone, who do seasons. Do you guys have a preference on what you want, what you think should be?
I like having both in different areas. I don't follow either of those esports scenes. Heroes has gone to a seasonal format, and they used to be just big tournaments. And the big tournaments are nice. Like, there's more on the line. There's this sense of grandeur when those happen. And I like how Dota 2 has the international, and that is like the Super Bowl of esports.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love consistent esports in Heroes. Like, I love just every weekend, there's just game after game of shit to watch.
Agreed. The reason I wanted to bring this up is because I just found this hilarious. So there's two things that are kind of hilarious that I find. They did this thing in Dota 2 where you could go into these amateur cups and you could qualify to the Champions Cup, and you could use the Champions Cup to bypass the qualifiers and just get straight in. But it was so poor, they had to cancel the North American one because they had literally zero people go attempt to do this route. They couldn't even get a tournament together. They couldn't get one person. And in the Southeast Asia Cup, there was only one team, and it was a North American team that moved to Southeast Asia to try to compete, but they were the only team that showed up.
That kind of sounds like maybe they didn't let everybody know.
I don't know. Maybe it was bad marketing or whatever.
Yeah, bad marketing.
But the other thing that was funny is in these open qualifiers, one of the team that always competes is named Veggie Esports. And Veggie Esports are made up of basically their casters that just open to just raise awareness for stuff. And these are the people that actually cast in the stuff. Anyways.
Which is fantastic. Like Madden and all them, to watch them all like play a game of football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be so cool.
But anyways, so Veggie Esports competes every qualifier just to raise awareness. This year, they got to the final game. And they got to the third game of the final game and were crushing the other team and just had to quit because they couldn't qualify to the majors because they have to announce the majors and all. But it was just like, how bad is the competition right now if these guys that their job is to just announce just throw their team together and are so good that they could make it to it. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, where's the competition here? So I don't know. I just interesting how it's kind of playing out. Dota 2 is a huge game, and apparently the esports side of it is not necessarily doing as well as it maybe should be doing. So I'm wondering if they're going to do changes later on for it, but just kind of interesting stuff going on with Dota 2 and the majors.
Yeah, because if anything, the benchmark of competitive outside of Counter-Strike, I feel like Dota 2 is right up there.
Me too. Mm-hmm. But apparently, I don't know, maybe they can't get their act together or something. Like, I would picture them doing a league style, just like Heroes
Quit
of the Storm
clubs.
Or League of Legends. But
esports
anyways.
Organizers.
So, moot news. Emilio, you want to talk news?
Neither one of these are mine.
Oh, yeah. That's you, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. There was an article recently on PC Gamer. I know we have a lot of listeners that play The Division. And this PC Gamer article was talking about kind of preaching some doom and gloom about the game, because apparently they announced going into year two for Tom Clancy's The Division, I guess is its full title. They have free content, which is going to be going out, and that sounds all great and everything, but the reason it was free is because there's no way that they could charge people for this, at least according to the article. So the interpretation of the person who wrote this article made it sound like the game, it was not like a dead game by any means, but they weren't just putting the resources into it to produce new content and create a season pass that they would charge for. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Have you played any of the Division since we all played it in beta?
Nope.
I haven't touched it in beta, but people seem to be having a lot of fun with it. I didn't have problems with the game. I didn't want to pay $60 for a game.
I'm confused why it's in year two. Like, how long did people want it to? 2 years of a game is a good thing that I think.
So
like,
you should just let it go. Okay, cool. We made it the years two and just,
no, but I'm saying like
that's not support it.
Why is this a bad thing that is dying out in year two? Like, is it supposed to have lasted 10 years like WoW did? Like, what? I'm confused. Like,
I mean, you want
it's a community driven game.
Yeah, I made a comment on The Division saying that I did not even attempt to start it because I knew it wasn't going to be a game I was going to play over and over again throughout the years. It's very hard for me to pick up any FPS shooter knowing that I won't touch it more than like the initial, what feels like a single player campaign, just, you know, a couple days on end until I get my fix and move on. When it comes to first person shooters, especially online and competitive playing, I want something that's going to rebuild itself years and years down the line, like Counter-Strike. And now me being
still obsessed with
Overwatch.
Ironically is the more people that think your way, the less it's likely to reiterate itself. You know what I mean? Like, the more people that commit, the more likely that there's going to be more... It's going to be followed.
Yeah.
I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying that, like...
Well, it's very...
It's not a fault of yours. It's a fault of
the game. In the PC world, there's not many FPSs that do what Counter-Strike does, that Overwatch is doing now. But in the console world, when I think Tom Clancy games, I think console, because you know what happens every single time with a console shooter? Mm. They make a brand new fucking game the very next year, like it's next big fucking thing. They couldn't put it in the game last year because this technology didn't fucking exist. You know, highlight Call of Duty, highlight Battlefield. When you have one one game that can build upon itself and become a replay, like have such high replay value, being that Counter-Strike is over a decade old. And I grew up with that title. And when it comes to Call of Duty, I'm just like, okay, which Call of Duty did you play? And then like how within the year you were done with it and you had to wait for a brand new title in order to feel like you wanted to pick it up again.
I don't think of The Division as a first person shooter. Like, honestly, like there's shooting in it, but it's not an FPS that in the traditional sense. It's more open world, and that mission based and stuff like that. It's a very different game than other games. But I agree. Like I think it was striving for something, but I don't think it hit it. But I think maybe if they reiterate, maybe if they do a Division 2 and could clean up some stuff, I think it could be successful. But this wasn't a monthly, right? You didn't pay monthly for this game, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. One-time fee, and then I think they have.
Well, no wonder they can't develop it for it. For like, you can't. you just expect to buy a $60 game and then expect 2 years of development out of that. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I guess
there was expansions, right? Or something
like
that.
In other words.
A season pass. Was it a season pass?
Yeah, they had a season pass.
Okay, maybe season pass in lieu of a monthly.
This is a novel thought for me, but.
You did get a little passionate there, Chi. I did like that.
Well, when it comes to...
Her nostrils were flaring.
Yeah.
At me.
They were like a permanent flare.
She was right, though. Really big nostrils. She made some real strong points.
No, I agree.
Conversely, though, now that I'm thinking about it for the first time, like, if you're going to buy a $60 game, let's say The Witcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably as robust and as deep as that game is. If you played that like Counter-Strike... You'd be done in less than a year for sure.
Yeah.
So what is the? How can you possibly ask, like something like The Division, to give you more than 6 months of content for $60?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense too, right?
Yeah. But if they have got a season pass method and you paid another $40 for the season pass and you pay it every year, then I could see where they have the money to.
Yeah, but this game is set up like an MMO kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's meant to be played like a lot with a large community and with other people, and the other people kind of, and the community creates the game itself. So, you know, expecting this to have like a longer lifespan, I don't think is out of the ordinary. Currently, there's about 5,000 people playing it right now, according to Steam charts. And today's peak was 7,500. That's a healthy community for a game this, I would say.
Yeah.
I do like the idea, and I'll definitely always like this idea. So if you go to WoW, you have the Horde versus Alliance, and you can run into each other on the street, murder each other before you even get anywhere important, right?
On a PvP server, yeah.
PvP server. This has dark zones, which are...
PvP zones.
PvP zones that have higher loot rate, but everybody's in there and they're searching around. But at any point, you could run into the Horde. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I love that idea. I think
it's
fantastic.
But this one's even more. It's just open friendly fire. It's just... Free fire. You can shoot anybody
in the dark zone.
There's no sides. Yeah. It's just open season when you hit a dark zone.
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, it's cool.
Instead of wandering around when you're like...
Well, they had problems early on because people are like, hey, all the good loot's here, but if you don't fight each other, then you guys can just get good loot. So it was just turned into a love fest for a while until they had to fix that problem.
I'll go into the dark zones and be like, hey, everybody, can we just all share the loot?
Because they would have these, like, drop zones, and you'd have to, like, stand in the drop zone to get the loot, and it was just turning into, like, 100 people just sitting in the drop zone just getting the loot because it would just easier to not shoot each other.
Yeah.
So they had to change it up, but I don't know. It was interesting.
All right, let's shut this thing down.
Wait, I got
Bobby's
one more.
Eyes are not even open.
Neither are yours, drunk motherfucker. Stop drinking. Last thing. Steam review scores have changed, and it no longer is going to count people that didn't pay in the top section where it says, like, your overall rating. They're no longer going to count reviews that have happened for people that have played on free weekends or have played Family Share or anything like that.
But what about a free copy that was gifted to them from
gifts
the company?
Gifts don't count either. You can't. You don't add to the overall
that's
on a gift either.
Okay,
oh,
because
weird.
The reason you're getting the gift is to review.
Hey, don't argue with me.
Person.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying. Like... Team Tom was gifted millions, hundreds of games.
Then his reviews are not counting.
Man,
are you sure?
That's what the article said that I read. Valve released a statement. You know, they said they're continuing to iterate on the review.
Well, if you
process.
Get a code and you activate it on Steam, then I don't know. Maybe it. I don't know if Steam has a way of telling if you had purchased it, because a lot of these bundle sites I go to, they just give you codes and you activate it on Steam. And I mean, I did buy it, but just from a different source other than going directly through Steam. It might count that. I'd have to read the article to see the details. But I think the real point here is that the Steam review system is bullshit anyway. So, you know,
but it's
kinda... don't give it too much weight. I know people do look at that and do that does
it.
Give an opinion on whether or not they buy the game, but it shouldn't, because it's not a good review system, what they have set up here.
It might not be a good one, but it's the best we have.
Been like, why did I download this? This says the one thing, and I'm completely the other way. Like, very rarely, if ever, have I got something and be like completely, like 100% wrong with what was rated?
Well, the majority of them are mostly positive, or you know, whatever like the generic good one is, like the 80% B plus. You know, like most of them are right along there, and that isn't really very helpful. And then a game will come out that has one single issue, and people will like make that their like they'll make that like the single thing that they focus on. Like, oh, it's capped at 30 frames per second. Everybody votes thumbs down, horrible game, capped at 30 frames per second. Then something comes out like a patch that fixes it a month later, and then it's a null issue. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I've never really liked the Steam reviews. I think if you really want to review, don't take a numerical value. Don't take the Steam reviews. Like, actually read an article, play a demo. Like, there's much better ways.
You guys in your reading.
Yeah.
What about the Steam community renowned reviewers? I do know that there are people who
I don't even know what that
exist in the Steam community as trusted reviewers. I don't know how you find them. I just know that there is like
they have the Steam curator.
The curator.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm sorry.
We're a curator, by the way.
Yeah, we do have a curatorship.
And that can be good. I don't think that's too great either. I never really use that. But if you have someone or a group, you know, that like
trust.
Total Biscuit has one, like someone whose tastes you are aligned with and you read their reviews, then you will, you know, you will probably like the games that they like.
It's tricky from us though, like, because, well, I did all the curious,
or you could just listen to us and then we'll tell you exactly what to play.
Mm-hmm. What's that one,
we're
like
spot on every
gamer
time.
And YouTube donkey donkey
not ringing a bell YouTuber named Donkey.
He's very popular.
I think we're done with this episode.
I think we're done. I think Bobby needs to go to sleep.
Yeah, Bobby.
That's true. All right. Well, what's next week looking like for everybody?
I will be in Vegas. So, by the way, I will be in Vegas next weekend. So, I'm not sure if I'll be available for the podcast unless you guys do it Monday. So
that's Video Donkey.
Video Donkey.
So, we all have to contribute at least one mobile game.
Yeah.
In honor.
Keep the mobile game alive.
Chad's absence.
I'll send you guys what you guys are reviewing. How about you guys? Anything? What are you guys up to?
I'm going to be playing some more Black Wake, obviously some Heroes of the Storm. I'll try to pick up something new. I've reinstalled Killing Floor 2 and Super Monday Night Combat. Had the itch. Friday or Saturday night, after a late night of gaming, all sorts of games with people, Fastidious and I closed it off with one game of Awesome Knots because there was a content update for that, and we had a blast. Great way to end the evening, so I might get back into that.
Cool.
A few options, and I'm going to try to be streaming more during the week. I'm going to try to make that a regular thing.
That's awesome.
Everspace had a huge update.
Oh, nice.
Huge, but a good one. Apparently you can like fly out.
Tell us about it next week.
Fly in and without derelict spaceships, like gigantic ships that blew up. You can go in through them, and like you're flying through skeletons of old ships. Sounds
cool.
Awesome. Want to check that out. Always Fallout 4. I'm going to play it, but I don't. And Bobby, did Streets of Rogue sound even slightly enticing? Because it's...
See, here's the thing that I'm hung up on.
I've never seen Bobby roll his eyes before.
Yeah, no, because they call it Streets of Rogue. It's an obvious homage to Streets of Rage. And they advertise themselves in their Steam channel as a mix of three different games. And I said this on the podcast many times before. I absolutely hate it when games are like, it's like TF2 meets Deus Ex meets...
But it is.
I don't know, dude. I think that's just the shittiest way to market your game. It's like all those other games you like in one. I'm like, no, it's not.
It is. This is like 10 games in one. It's like 10 games in one.
Maybe I'll play it just so I can talk shit about it next week and tear the whole thing down.
$14.99.
Burn that shit to the ground.
Gee, what are you playing?
As much of Mass Effect 3 as possible before Andromeda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
just so
right.
I just get used to the world, get used to the controls, and then it's going to be an Andromeda marathon after that.
Was Mass Effect 3 on your list of things to...
No, I was looking at my original scratch paper for the 12 games I was looking to beat, and instead of keeping Mass Effect on that, I crossed it out and rewrote in Skyrim. So I might have to like swap Skyrim for Mass Effect 3 if
or
I do
play them both
to beat that. Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we're done. Close this bitch out.
That's
so
rare.
Speaking for Bobby, Chi, Chad, and myself, Streets of Titties, everyone. Streets of Titties.